Spirit of Design delves deep into the unseen elements of design and holistic sustainability.
Join us, Amy and
Anya,
for open conversations with creatives, scholars, activists, and others to envision alternative design futures that are diverse, inclusive, community-centric, and in symbiosis with all life on this planet.
Today's episode is with Will Bull and Amy Foster Taylor, the founders of London-based sustainability consultancy And Beyond. Created last year, And Beyond run workshops with schools, brands, and more to empower people to create a better world. Their work focuses on creating spaces for you to tap into your intrinsic values and harness your imagination in order to come up with meaningful solutions for a more connected and sustainable future. Today's chat is particularly centered around imagination and values and the power that these elements have to create a more sustainable world. We hope you enjoy this conversation. Thank you so much for joining me today, Amy and Will. It's such a pleasure to have you both on here today, and I'm so excited to chat about your journeys and the work you are doing with And Beyond. So thanks so much for being here.
Thanks so much for having us.
You're welcome. So perhaps we could begin by both of you sharing a little bit about yourselves, how it was that you ended up at And Beyond. What was your journey like? I'm sure we'd love to know.
Anything first?
Yeah, cool. We both have, I guess, slightly different convoluted paths, but yeah, I'll go first. So if we start my undergraduate degree, I was at the University of Exeter, where I studied management and marketing. Mm-hmm. It was great in the sense that I met really great people, but actually the course didn't kind of nurture the aspects of me that I was really wanting to be nurtured, so things like critical thinking, to the point where my dissertation ended up being on the power of luxury fashion brands and the strategies they could use in this new digital age to kind of further manipulate customers, which just doesn't really align with my values whatsoever, which is a bit mad. But
yeah,
after that, I went traveling, which gave me a really good opportunity to reflect and think about what exactly I wanted to be doing in my life. And I was vegan and
still are
vegan. And I just realized suddenly how hypocritical it was of me that for the longest time I'd been caring about the animals and the ethics around, I guess, veganism. And I just hadn't been thinking about who made my clothes and the ethical side of the fashion industry. And then, of course, when you start digging down that rabbit hole, you find out so much information and you can't really turn away from
it. Unsee.
Yeah, you can't unsee it at all. And you realise it's not just about ethics, it's also about the environment. And the more I kind of learned, the more I realised that working in marketing in the fashion industry would further contribute to the problems. And so when I got back from travelling, I was lucky enough to go on the course MA Fashion Futures at London College of Fashion, which is the same course that you, Anya, were on, albeit a different year group. And I was really lucky to be with 15 amazing women. It just provided a really incredible space to be open and really weird and kind of existential, which was exactly what I really felt I needed. And it was a really transformative time. But one of, I guess, the key elements of that period and what's led us to And Beyond is that I kept it gives you a really good opportunity to think about the areas of your practice that you want to explore. And I kept coming back to the idea of values and the core of humans and the level of the paradigm, basically Danella Meadows was my academic crush, and she really got me thinking about how impactful it could be. Great change at this level, it could just have wide reaching implications, and to me it felt so much more meaningful than just sticking kind of a band-aid over the problems.
100%.
So I guess the first arena I had to test out these ideas was as part of the Caring Award for Sustainable Fashion with Alexander McQueen. And I started to explore the values of their employees to kind of tackle issues of toxicity in the fashion industry and poor levels of well-being. It proved my hypothesis that brands weren't really willing and ready to have conversations at these levels and talk about values, talk about toxicity of the industry, which is quite sad, because I think if we could have these conversations, we could eradicate a lot of the issues. So I wanted to continue to explore these ideas throughout my master's. And I guess, bear with me, but essentially I was asking, if brands are a figment of our imagination, they don't exist outside of our imagination. All of their employees, their customers, are helping to build this story, this narrative of what a brand is. So if we're shaping that, why are we shaping something that doesn't perhaps align with our personal values? Why is there this kind of disconnect? And that kept happening. So I would talk to people who ultimately felt their company was prioritizing things like power and wealth, the destruction of the environment, whereas actually they really cared about the environment, they cared about connection with people, they connected about all of these aspects that weren't being represented in the story of the brand. And that didn't really make sense to me. And throughout these workshops and interviews, I was having really amazing conversations. I was having people say that they'd worked with their colleagues for 20 years and never spoken this openly. So naturally I wanted to keep doing it. I started to do workshops after that with Drop, which was a podcast I co-founded throughout my master's. And we were hosting these free workshops just for the fashion community. And they were basically just really warm, cozy spaces where people could have beautiful, honest conversations and really open up and connect and come up with some positive visions. And I guess it was around this time that I reconnected with Will.
Oh, that's my cue.
Cool. You can jump in.
Yeah, following you is always so hard. My journey to And Beyond is probably a little less straightforward. So I guess I matured relatively early, spiritually speaking, which has its own challenges, ironically, probably because I was just unaware that I was self-aware. In my eyes, I just seemed to think differently to all of my friends, and from what I could see, most of society too. Growing up in London, I could never get my head around sort of all of the problems, the inequality, homelessness, and just the endless pursuit of money, like just a continuous cycle without any meaning. I wanted no part of it, really. Honestly, I'd like to say that my instincts were to change things, but I just wanted to escape. I was sure there had to be more to life than that. So once I finished uni, I bought myself a one-way ticket and left, with no real plan of coming back at all. It was after about 3 years I got quite ill, basically spent all my money trying not to die, spent the last little bit on a plane home, and yeah, without any money, needed a job. 2 weeks later, I was sat in a London office as a pharmaceutical communications intern, wondering what on earth had happened. So throughout that kind of experience, I realized that the vagabond lifestyle was fun, but it just lacked security for me. So I thought I'd give the London life a go and see if I can just do it for a few years, just get in, hard graft, get out. But it became pretty obvious quickly that wasn't for me. It just just felt deeply unsatisfied, couldn't turn off the feeling of the voice in my head that there was more to life. I was just wasting mine. I needed to do something with purpose. And I guess for a few years then, I'd already realized that, I decided that my purpose in life was to try and help people. I've always been somewhat of a spiritual teacher, I guess. This sounds wanky. Just an unofficial life coach to everyone around me. And I always enjoyed that role. And I also learned, trying to work in an office, that I am not very good at working under people. I kind of needed to be my own boss. I needed to do something for myself and something with purpose. And Amy was the only person I knew who seemed to be doing both of those things. So I just reached out. I think the message was something like, hey, mate, need your help. Need to save the world, but I'm not sure how. And then we just started chatting, really.
Yeah, this is probably the longest answer we'll get round. And Beyond was born, but essentially when we started talking, we realised how much we had in common. And just that if we put our heads together, we could really do something great. And it just so happened that the work contract that we were working on both kind of ended within the same 24-hour period. Yeah, definitely. And the more we were talking, we just thought, okay, we've got to do this. We've got to do something.
Yeah, why don't we do something together? And that's why Ambion is really nice. I guess it's just an extension of ourselves. It's exactly what we thought the world needed and what we could offer to the cause.
So essentially, with Ambiond, we run workshops with schools, brands, pretty much everyone, really. We're starting to go out to festivals and museums this year.
Yeah, we should probably say, like, it was started with the belief that everyone can make a difference, and that most people want to, but they're just not sure how or where to start. So we realised with the workshops, we could really sort of help them with that process.
Definitely. So I guess if you look at the work of, say, the work I was doing with The Drop or my master's, at a starting point where there's kind of the values and positive vision piece, but then really crank it up a notch and add completely different elements to, such as action, and then expand out to
wider parts of society.
Yeah,
it was really nice. Like, it suddenly, the combination of both of us, suddenly it grew so much bigger, but then seemed also so much more achievable, which I think is when you know you're on to a winner.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, so that's the very, very long story for you, Anya.
Yeah, sorry.
No, that's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. It's quite extraordinary how kind of things align to make things happen like that for you guys coming together and with this shared purpose and vision. I love that so much. It really lights me up to hear about people listening to those nudges when they get them. Could you perhaps run us through how your workshops look like? Because I know you mentioned you work with businesses as well as school students. How do these look like? Could you perhaps run us through the steps you take people through in a general way?
Yeah, definitely. So all of our workshops go through kind of, we have a three-stage framework, which is values, vision, and then action. And essentially, the values part is just providing a space for people to really connect with themselves, connect with other people, and reflect on the issues that they care about the most.
This is where a lot of Amy's previous work in values comes in. We just try and create spaces that get people to tap into their intrinsic values. Our sort of goal is to shift the prioritization of societal values from extrinsic to the more intrinsic values.
Yeah, and we can definitely talk more about that. With the issues that people care about, we kind of prime them to talk about slightly different things. So with schools, we get kids talk about absolutely anything, whatever kind of keeps them up at night, whatever they feel. I think that sometimes when you phrase conversations around passion, people feel really alienated because they think, I don't have a passion. But actually, if you can start to talk to people about what is it that you what is it that you care about? What is it that you'd like to change in your area? Then it starts to unlock a lot of conversations. So with schools, the kind of themes that will come through might be homelessness or knife crime, gang culture, climate change,
bullying.
A whole range of issues. What we do with brands, on the other hand, is frame their conversations around values.
The UN Sustainable Development Goals, and getting them to think within that framework, mm-hmm. helping them to align their business practices, I guess, more with the SDGs.
Yeah, we're ultimately saying, as an employee, what is it that you really care a lot about out of these 17 goals? What is it that you perhaps feel like your company isn't doing as well at? And then perhaps we can come find those kind of the goals that they want to work on.
Which you do sort of with the next part. So after values, there is the vision. And we really felt that this was key. Imagination is such an essential part of creating change, but it's neglected within society. It's cast out, it's childish.
Yeah.
And it's particularly concerning, especially at the minute with the effects of climate change really forcing us to rethink our current lifestyles and business practices. So many people we speak to seem to have lost the ability that the world could be any different than it is now.
And it's really problematic because often, you know, we've spoken to lots of kids, and I shouldn't say kids, teenagers even, who have said to us, I think I'll be dead in the next 10 years. And
it's really powerful to hear.
Yeah, it's really powerful. And it kind of, it makes you so aware of the fact that younger people should, you know, there's no reason why they shouldn't be in touch with their imagination and those capabilities, because we're born with them. It's almost just all kind of through our conditioning that we lose these.
Also in adults, if you can't see your way out, if you are unable to see the future where things turn out okay, you can often just resort to nihilism, which is just not what the world needs right now.
And having such fear, it's completely paralysing, but you can see why people get there, because media narratives, they're scary, but we kind of realised that people needed this alternate kind of future to work towards.
So, North Star almost.
Definitely. So we basically do things a little bit differently, in that we just start off with a guided meditation in the second part. And we really get people to question a world where the issue that they are working on is completely solved, it's kind of completely eradicated, and we get them to, in their head, flesh out every single element of this world, what it looks like, how you interact with each other, what role businesses play in so many different aspects.
Yeah.
And get them kind of exploring just a completely different idea that they probably wouldn't get to, because we wouldn't afford ourselves these spaces, these headspaces.
Yeah, for sure. And so when you know where you're going, then you can come up with the solutions to get there, which takes us on to the third part, which is action. Mm-hmm. As I said, you can kind of, once you know where you're going, we get people to identify all of the possible steps that they need to take or could take to get there, possibly choosing one, two, and then really fleshing them out so that by the end of the workshop, they have, I guess, a blueprint of what it is they care about, what it is, what the world looks like, what the world they want to see looks like, and how they can get.
And I really love this part, because I feel like my work previously and with the workshops we were doing at the job, we would have really lovely conversations, but it would kind of end on a bit of a, well, what's next? Where do we go from here? And that was almost disempowering, because you can almost do too much talking and then just not really know what your path is from here. So I really love that. But I particularly love that it comes from first people thinking about what it is they really care about, tapping into these really important intrinsic values, being able to imagine a better future. It essentially means that the actions that people can come up with aren't going to be within the confines of the system that we're already in. They're not going to be rushed. They're not going to be, even though our workshop format is quite quick, we get them into a different headspace pretty quickly, and it just allows the solutions that are created to be very different to the ones that would have just kind of come out of a normal 9-to-5 day.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I Yeah, like you said, Will, these imagination, envisioning kind of values, aspects are so backgrounded in our society where it's not given as much value as, I guess, the more tangible, practical things you can actually see. But it's, I guess, it's such a core element. It's like the foundation of anything, really, but it isn't being explored enough.
Definitely. And this kind of goes into the values part as well. Amy, correct me if I'm wrong, imagination is one of the intrinsic values. So it's kind of downplayed.
I guess it's not one of the intrinsic values, but it's something.
Look, showing my ignorance.
It's a prime example of like a tool that we use to tap into people's intrinsic values of things, quality, community with nature. Because, and that's the, I guess, really lovely thing, that every time we do this kind of exercise with people, their worlds turn out in a very similar way. You know, lots of nature, greenery, local.
We all want the same things.
Yeah, when you really get talking to people and get them really opening up, that's what you realise. Everyone wants the same thing, which is lovely and really promising and hopeful, but... Mm. Yeah, it's just getting there.
Yeah, you're right. Not enough time is actually spent envisioning, imagining, connecting to these alternative desired futures. It's all very much based on the reality, the doom and gloom. And I'm particularly seeing that here in Australia at the moment with the bushfires that are still going. It's still... Awesome. Still super smoky in Sydney most days, pretty bad air quality. You know, there's a lot happening. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of grief. People are marching on the streets. There's a lot of voices and noise being thrown around, being telling people what they should be doing to take action and et cetera, et cetera. But there is such little talk about going in and connecting to ourselves, to our values, actually taking time to reflect and introspect, okay, like this is happening, but how can we actually create an alternative reality? So I think it's so, so important that you guys are founding your work on that, which I don't think is being done enough at all.
No, we agree. Thank you. Glad you agree.
Absolutely. Well, that's kind of the work Amy and I are trying to do with Sustainability 5.0, because we both believe there is this spiritual, unseen aspect to our lives, and it's just as important as the physical and practical, and it has to be a harmonious balance, but it isn't predominantly in the West at the moment.
No.
Definitely. So a little bit about values is that there are 57 values that are recognised globally. And
which is why it's hard to remember all of them.
That's a lot.
But we all possess them. So, you know, we all possess perhaps that desire for meaning in life and the aspects of spirituality that you were just talking about. It's just that we're not necessarily plugged into it, that the forces kind of around us, the media, all of these aspects, are pushing different values, are telling us to prioritise different values, and that's kind of taking precedence. But it's kind of, even though that's problematic, it is a kind of nice reminder that, yeah, we do possess all of these kind of really good, helpful, intrinsic values. We will have the power to get there and be reprioritising it. But it is work. It's work to kind of battle the social conditioning.
Yeah, unpick it.
And could you run me through a little bit how you actually create these spaces to activate these intrinsic values out of students and both people in companies? Because I'm sure it's probably a process people aren't used to. So how do you get them to open up to that and connect with that?
Yeah, so it's something that we haven't actually stumbled across any other organisation who is really experimenting in this area specifically, which is creating these kind of environments to activate intrinsic values. And I guess there's multiple ways that we do it.
Yeah, we're exploring new methods all the time, trialing, seeing what works best.
I guess within the framework of kind of the values, vision, action, if you get people tapping into themselves, thinking, actually, you know, if we go back even a stage further, when people enter the room with Will and Amy, we don't come into places as teachers, as consultants. We're Will and Amy, we're your friends, we're your peers. And I think that we're able quite quickly to create that relationship with other people.
Yeah.
Which is
a nice space.
Yeah, it's definitely really helpful. We don't come in to teach. All we're there to do is kind of help nurture different aspects and help people get to things on their own. We provide kind of frameworks and tools, but because they're coming up with things on their own and we're not teaching it, that initially that kind of whole idea is a lot more empowering. I think that really helps to get people on board. For example, a lot of schools will use us with their most challenging students because we kind of enable a completely different way. And
yeah, it's not this traditional teacher classroom format. We should say as well, it's not just the kind of workshops themselves, the design of it foster the intrinsic values. So we kind of nurture it just throughout the collaboration, the creativity, the imagination, all of these things. Yeah, so it's all kind of built into it as much as sort of getting them to reflect as well.
Definitely. We don't talk too much to them about the kind of intrinsic, extrinsic values. It's designed into the activities, though, in an imagination piece, talking about a positive vision of the future, that's much more likely to get them imagining kind of their utopias rather than dystopia, because if they're tapped into what they really care about, the chances are that, in fact, even people, when they've entered the room and they're talking about kind of money and power, that's not what they're leaving the room talking about. And when they've gone through this stage of kind of going inwards, talking openly with each other about what they care about and imagining the future, just engaging in these different exercises of imagination, reflection, openness, honesty, something happens. Something happens.
It's where the magic happens.
It is. Mm. You have people who, this isn't really answering your question, Agnes, sorry, but you have people who will start off the workshop, or I remember we did a meditation, a kind of guided meditation, the imagination piece before, with a guy who said, I was imagining this really beautiful world. As soon as you brought up the word businesses, all I could see was grey. I couldn't imagine anything other than corruption. Mm-hmm. And he said this quite openly in a brand workshop. And then afterwards we got chatting, when we were chatting to him about it, we started talking about, why can't you see, could you see that perhaps businesses could also have a role in creating social good or environmental good? And he just had this aha moment, and he had never ever thought about it before. And so I think that even though that seems really simple for people working within this space, if you have just had a kind of traditional job in your 9-to-5 through your whole life, you've never kind of entered into thinking any differently. And so a lot of what we do is just generally kind of dispelling.
Yeah, debunking this.
Yeah. Mm. Definitely. And being more, I guess, so having a role that's more
peer to peer, you can connect to people on a different level, I think, really helps sort of set them at ease. And I think that's the ground framework you kind of want to start these things on.
And asking questions rather than telling people things, not saying any statements ever, just getting them to really question for themselves. And it's a really wonderful headspace, because I think that if you can get, our workshops are 2 hours, and if you can get people starting to think differently and tap into these values within this 2-hour period and come up with solutions in this 2-hour period, actually that our physical, like Will and Amy's presence in that company might stop, but the kind of tools and the questions that they've started asking in that workshop will just keep going on to inform, we hope. The plan.
And how have you found that people have been able, because the workshops, they are 2 hours, which it sounds like quite a short time to go so in depth. Yeah, how have you found people and students have been able to then integrate the work afterwards into, I guess, the real world?
We have some plans for that, actually. We'd love to, for the student ones, we'd love to connect the interested students with mentors and peers sort of working in the fields of the issues they chose and sort of help them sort of guide. They leave each workshop with a sort of almost an action plan of what it is, how they can affect the change. So we sort of leave that with them, sort of give them all of the words of encouragement, really hype them up. And they usually leave pretty buzzing. We don't sort of tell them to take it. They want to take it, which is a nice thing. We'd love to grow that more and sort of be able to work with them longer term. That is a limitation, I guess, of the short interactions.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's something that we're reflecting on more and more, is that kind of final piece to make sure that the work doesn't get lost. We've had instances, we had an instance recently with a brand, and who they came up with really amazing solutions. The group felt they were, I guess this is another aspect to the activating the intrinsic values that we were talking about before as well, is that our workshops are open to anyone. It doesn't matter your seniority, it doesn't matter anything. That doesn't matter to us. When you enter the room, we're all people, and I think creating that space really helps. But anyway, we had this group of people who came up with a really amazing strategy and still love it and implemented a lot of the actions. But they've said that since one of the most difficult things is, they've said, we've somehow had this really incredible experience in 2 hours. We want to go into the company and implement all of these things, and we're doing it and we're trying. But the excitement that they have isn't transferred to the people that weren't in the workshops. So I guess an element that we really need to work on is how we can ensure that when participants leave workshops, they can also bring other people on the journey who haven't been involved. And that is definitely something that will just make the impact so much greater if we can get right.
Yeah. And just to mention your point about 2 hours sort of almost not being enough, we've done sort of community workshops now, and one of the first things we learned, we were a bit slack on the facilitating, because the first one was just with our friends and we're enjoying having the conversations. But I think people, 2 hours gets a bit mentally tiring after that.
Imagination, something that we've really learned is that imagination is amazing. Everyone can tap into their imagination, but what imagination really needs to flourish and thrive is constraints. You need some reasonable constraints. And if we were, I guess we've all been to conferences and workshops where you're sat in the same room for hours and it ends up draining you rather than kind of exciting you. And being able to get people to quite quickly imagine and quite quickly tap into all of these aspects means that their energy levels really stay up. And anything kind of over that 2 hour mark, people are just, they need a bit of a nap.
Yeah, or we just had really terrible friends when they
Oh, that's so interesting. What have you found, particularly, I'd love to know, you mentioned a little bit about school children, but perhaps you can talk to that a little bit more, but as well as businesses, how have you found working with them and tapping into using imagination as a tool for them to connect to their desired futures? And perhaps have you seen anything emerge that takes people from businesses away from kind of these traditional success markers into creating alternative paradigms, as you were mentioning before?
Oh totally, because we haven't with our workshops as of yet worked, say, with just a group of directors on really transformational strategies for the business. But what has happened in the brand workshops that we've done so far is empower people throughout companies to feel like they can actually, that they're not just turning up to a 9-to-5 job, that they have this imagined world that operates completely differently to the world that they thought that they had to operate in. And I think that's perhaps a problem that if you're working in a not senior position and you're not used to making decisions, and suddenly realizing that, wait, there's another world that can exist and I can actually have a hand in crafting that, is a really incredible shift.
Yeah, sure. And sort of once you get people sort of imagining slightly more laterally get them out of their sort of confined ways of thinking. You can get them to think, like, being much more innovative and creative in what they come up with.
So much more creative, and so much more, people really think about how the entire way of working can be different and not worse, but completely optimized, and not just optimized for the environment, but also, they've realized that they can have a much better, improved well-being at work, that work can be a lot, it can really contribute to a good life for them with actually quite a few small changes. Plus, it can help the business be more environmentally sustainable, socially sustainable, and in turn, that's just going to lead to financial stability as well. And I think when people connect those dots, the solutions kind of feed into all aspects of sustainability.
Yeah, there's so many wins, and there's so many reasons why you would want to go sustainable. You briefly mentioned it there. Just aligning personal and professional values is It is so good for well-being and employee satisfaction.
And I think, unfortunately, I know that sounds like a really kind of basic outcome to come to for participants, but actually, with the current business model, personal well-being doesn't actually really matter. And that's what I had really found before, that especially in the fashion industry, which is so toxic, employees are so hyper aware that this is the way things are, and if I kick up a fuss about it, or if I say that I'm not happy with the way that I'm being treated, there's a queue of people waiting outside the door that would take this position. So they put up with it, they put up with their treatment. And so while having that kind of realization about how actually there are things that we can do that will align our values better, is a huge one, because it's not one that's afforded within our current systems at all.
Many companies, there are some that are doing okay.
Definitely.
Not everyone's terrible,
but I think the fashion industry is a good example of being a bit backwards in that area.
Yeah, it's so important, and I feel like people should be tapping into these sort of spaces on a regular basis.
We find them personally rewarding as well. We get to have really interesting conversations with people all the time. So Amy and I always leave feeling super pumped. So yeah, we definitely think that it's something that should happen more and more often within society.
Yeah, and I'd be interested to see what emerges in that. Perhaps this will inspire people on a personal level to go and, pursue their own purpose.
I hope so.
That was the goal. It was sort of to help people figure out what it is they care about and really empower them to go and make the change. Try and create a little army of social activists. We knew the most amount of change that we could make was to help everyone else sort of everyone has the power and can play a difference, power to make a difference and play a role in creating a better future. So it's really nice to sort of be able to help people with that.
And particularly students, I think, because when we go into school, when we go into schools, students, because they can't vote, suddenly think that what they care about doesn't matter. And they feel quite, I guess, paralyzed, like, what, I have no role in shaping the future because I can't vote. And by showing them and allowing them to kind of co-create different actions that are super, super meaningful to them, we're saying that just because you can't vote doesn't mean that you can't shape the future. You can do so much and so much, so much more.
And this is really the nice thing about And Beyond. And this is why I love it so much, because it's almost an...
Do you love it?
It's an example of the world we're advocating for, where businesses can exist to do social good. Like, it literally is just the combination of what we care about, what we feel the world needs, and what we can offer. If everyone was doing that, What a nice place that would be.
Yeah, mm. I think that's a really good point, actually, just to mention, and to be totally transparent, is that we are a limited company, but we are completely for social good. And we have a lot of people ask us, you know, you must be a charity. Are you a charity? But it's quite mad. And I guess we're being quite stubborn in being a limited company and sticking to it, because we think it's quite crazy that people think that you can only be a charity or a for-profit company, and you can't be a business that operates from a really good place for social good, for environmental good. And we're really trying to challenge those notions of what can be.
Yeah, what is possible. Mm. Just as an example of the world we're advocating for.
Mm, I love how you're trying to tell this new story of what business could be. I think, yeah, we need those new stories.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's such important work you guys are doing. So thank you for that. And I wanted to ask you as well, particularly perhaps Amy, you could answer this, because I know that you both you kind of cater to all industries, but particularly for design, how do you think these processes could contribute to better design practices?
Yeah, that's a good question. And actually, we were listening to, I think it was the interview with you actually, Anya, on this podcast, and you mentioned the 1,000-year rule, which we absolutely loved. And we were really thinking about it, because in our visioning sections, we just get people to think about 10 years, which doesn't seem like the future, right, when you compare it to 1,000 years.
Yeah.
But I think that is the situation that a lot of people are in, that 1,000 years would be incredible if we get people questioning.
Mm.
But I think mentally that's where people are quite at yet. But I think it's that same thing that we need to be doing in design, is questioning intention before creating, before designing. I think that people need to be questioning, what is this world that we want to live in? Really imagine that world. Perhaps that at the moment is easier to grasp than what could the world look like in 1,000 years. But what is this, when you're tapped into your intrinsic values, then you're imagining this ideal world, which hopefully will be this luscious, green, wonderful place where everything is thriving. Then are you designing or creating something that will fit into this world that you want to live in? I think that within the fashion space, design is often kind of the first action, but it shouldn't be. It shouldn't be the beginning stage. It should be really well thought out. In our workshop, the kind of design section is really the last. It comes after a huge period of introspection and imagination, and that's what we should be doing in design, not just jumping into it.
Yeah.
Not based on what kind of material looks pretty, or what design is, what would be in fashion, or what would be the most kind of unique, innovative garment that we could be making, but actually what is the most amazing world that we want to live in, and then what can I do now that will help to create that?
Yeah, I love that. I guess it's like you said at the beginning, that your business is an extension of yourselves, and it should be the same with everything, with design, with business, with clothes, with all of it.
Definitely. And I think it could probably feed into it just feeds into all elements, all aspects of our lives. I mean, sticking on the fashion front, I guess whether it's, you know, what you're consuming, what you're buying, thinking about those principles would be great. And for me, coming from a marketing place, what I would love to engage fashion brands in is the fact that, you know, it shouldn't also just be about the designers. Yes, they're making, but if a designer is tapped into this and is thinking about sustainability, but gets stopped at the finance guy because he says, I guess I'm thinking more traditionally now in terms of proper brands, but, you know, if the finance guy says we don't have the budget for this, actually it's a responsibility of absolutely everybody within the company, whether you're finance, whether you're marketing, whether you're HR, whether you're design, whatever role or function you're in, everybody needs to be coming from the same place. Otherwise these transitions just aren't going to happen.
Absolutely. And like, that's what we're seeing at the moment. There is such a disconnect there isn't that kind of cross collaboration. It's also separate.
Definitely. And it's crazy because some of the most amazing conversations I've had with the finance directors, they've really opened up and started talking about, you know, you get them out of their accounting headspace and you get them thinking about their kids and how the planet is something that their kids are going to inherit.
You get them collaging,
getting tapping into something, you get them being creative and doing activities that they would never normally do. Suddenly they're opening up about their family to their colleagues that they've never really opened up about. And all of a sudden they're having just these wildly different conversations. And that's, such a beautiful thing if you can do that, if you can broaden out the conversations and not just say the finance guy only thinks about finance because he's a good person who has perhaps a family, an understanding of the environment, and that shouldn't just shut out when you enter the workplace.
It's like kind of remembering the humanity within each of us and that we're all interconnected. And like you've found that we want the same things, which is quite astonishing, but I guess not surprising.
I think so.
And I
hope it'd be amazing if it continues that way. Definitely, the more workshops we do, the more we realise that people do want a better world. Well, that would just be really lovely.
And if they don't know, they will know soon. Yeah,
and it sounds like you have this element of playfulness and lightness and fun in your processes as well, which I think is missing a lot from the sustainability space, which can be overloaded with a lot of guilt and shame and we have to do this, it's so serious, which it is, but it can be paralyzing.
Yeah, that was quite a conscious decision. I think when we first started, we refined our messaging quite a lot. I think it was a bit too negative. Yeah, everything is just refined so much, but we really, it's just positivity now. That's all the world needs. So that's what we're about.
Yeah, we kind of started when we were initially put our heads together thinking about the kind of visioning piece. We were also thinking, you know, do we get people thinking about the dystopia?
Worst case scenario.
And how we can get people to get from, go really from the like worst case to best case. What's going to get us there?
Plot you on a timeline.
We don't need to do that. We don't need to be.
No one needs that. There's enough fear-mongering stories in the world.
Definitely. That's not what we want to load people up with. We want to load them up with visions that will then mobilize them, not paralyze them. Thanks.
Yes, we need more of that. I think the media is doing a good enough job inducing the fear in all of us. So yeah, we need to tell new stories, new positive stories and visions about the world that we could potentially create collectively.
And include, and that's the important thing, include as many people in that. I think at the moment you often hear similar people talking, especially in the fashion sustainability space. We need to broaden those conversations. We need to hear from everyone.
Yes. So on that topic of diversity, how are you tackling that, or how are you seeing that begin to emerge in your work?
Yeah, if we could just do more workshops and reach out to people, the format applies to sort of everyone. We bring out whatever you sort of come in with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think one of the main things, I guess, with schools is that making sure that they're accessible for every school, that it's not just private school kids who get these opportunities, but, you know, some of the most crazy and powerful conversations we've had are in schools where kids are completely paralysed by the idea of gang culture and knife crime. Being able to ensure that we are going out into every school, all the communities, different areas, same with companies. It doesn't to us, it doesn't matter, I guess, what the company does, none of those aspects matter as long as we can just...
Yeah, as we said before, everyone can play a different mm-hmm. difference. We just want to help them.
Yeah.
Amazing. And what are your future visions for 2020, but the coming decade with this work?
In a decade, I would love for there to be no need for Ambient. Everything, which is great.
That would be amazing. I guess more immediately, what's been really lovely is that since we've started this work, we have partnered with Global Action Plan.
Yes, they're a charity that are sort of working. It started on environmental education, but I think they've changed their tactic now.
They're experimenting, aren't they?
Yeah, they sort of discovered the fundamental role of human values. And so we're doing some work with them, and we're part of a working group with them looking at what environmental education looks like from a values lens, in the sense it doesn't necessarily need to be about the environment, which is interesting.
Yeah, it's definitely really interesting. It's something, I guess, definitely a hypothesis of ours is that, you know, if we're talking to kids about homelessness, for example, then just by virtue of the fact that they're tapped into intrinsic values because they're in our space, they're talking about something that they really care about that feels really real, naturally the kind of approach that they'll extend, the empathy that they'll extend when discussing homelessness should have a kind of spillover crossover effect into climate change, into all these other
trickle down into other areas of their life.
Definitely. So that's really exciting to be working with Global Action Plan.
We also had an exciting call with Oxfam earlier, which was really cool. They are in charge of Sustainable Development Goal 4.7 and the implementation of that within the UK curriculum over the next decade.
Yeah, so both of these pieces are essentially with Global Action Plan and with Oxfam. It's essentially about changing the education system, because at the moment we have an education system that isn't really helping kids to flourish, to think about all aspects of kind of sustainable development. It's kind of a education at the moment isn't very creative. That's not what's promoted. It's more about tests and metrics of success that have kind of led to the world that we're living in now and having to reevaluate. And so we need to be reforming the education system to be reflecting these changes that we need as well.
When we were at school, it was you get taught what to think, not how to think. I think we've got a real opportunity to shape the future through education.
Yeah.
And so it's a really nice thing to be a part of.
Both informing research, but then also taking it to the government level and saying this is kind of how the curriculum should be looking. So that's something we're both really excited about. And then also, because we just want these workshops to be as accessible and as open to as many people as possible, we are starting to just go out with completely new branches other than just brands and schools. So festivals is one aspect.
Booked a couple of festivals for later this summer, which is very exciting.
Yeah, I think that would be really nice for us to just try these workshop formats in a completely different space. It'll be really interesting because that's a shorter time frame as well, because you know, attention span at people festivals when there are cool bands going on.
Just on a personal level as well. Startup life is hard, and I cannot imagine that we're going to be going on any holidays this year. So if we can get some festivals in, I'm a happy man.
That's a very good point. And also partnering with museums, not just so that in the same sense that we think we need more positive visions of the future, we need more people telling these stories and more inclusive narratives of what this kind of positive vision looks like. So opening up the opportunity to students and emerging artists and people who haven't necessarily had the opportunities yet to showcase their work to have a voice. We want to help provide a space and a platform for as many people to share their voice, share their vision of the future, and then work with museums to communicate ideas.
Yeah, to break out of the sustainability echo chamber.
Definitely.
And reach more people.
Definitely. And then I guess in the future, in this decade, it would be amazing to try and create spaces for a longer time period if we could start doing
more immersive pieces.
Immersive pieces and retreats and kind of weekends of what would it look like if we were to really kind of activate people's intrinsic values. So that could look like being outside more. At the moment in our workshops, people aren't connecting with nature, but that is a very good way to kind of tap into self, your connection with the planet, all of those aspects. So if we can extend that over a weekend format, that would be incredible. And then maybe even put it online and offer services online, which would reach all corners of the planet. So yeah, there's a lot of ambition here.
Good.
To make it happen.
Good. We need that. Oh, that's some great, great visions that you guys have there.
Thank you.
Was there anything else that both of you... either of you would like to add?
If anyone is in London and wants to come to one of our workshops, we would love to have you and check us out. We put our community workshops sort of and advertise that through Instagram or something else. So yeah, definitely get in touch.
And these are free. So these are free workshops where people just come together, have great conversations, meaningful connections. So definitely get involved if you're ever in London. And then I guess the only other thing would be that you don't need to come to a workshop to tap into your intrinsic values. It's difficult, I think, at the moment. Yeah, we work 9 to 5 or longer hours probably. We get home, we shut off. We watch TV, we drink a glass of wine.
Netflix.
We're never actually really switching on. We're never really tapping into ourselves. So if people could, it would be amazing to see what the world would look like if people really gave themselves the opportunities to go within more, to give yourself the headspace, to reflect, to imagine. I definitely, we try, but it is work. Reminding yourself to get up and not have a lie, but maybe for me to stretch and do yoga is going to be way more helpful to go outside and go on a walk or to write or do all those things that just make your heart happy.
Yeah, it's that sustainability of the self, it's often forgotten about. Great. And you're just sticking to workshops in London in the UK, or are you doing any traveling in the foreseeable future?
We would love to be able to take these abroad, but for the minute, just as we're getting established, it's the UK wide.
Mm-hmm. And also there is so much there's so much work on our doorstep to do that I guess it wouldn't really make sense for us to travel at the moment when, there are so many schools, there's so many kids just in our local area that need these opportunities that we might as well start from here and see where it goes.
Well, it's been such a pleasure to chat to you both. And I'm going to put all your details in the show notes below if anyone wants to get in touch or is in London to attend one of your get-togethers. And I wish you both so much success, whatever that looks for you, for the coming year and decade, because what you're both doing is so needed and so important. And I really look forward to watching And Beyond grow.
Thank you. Cheers. We appreciate that.
Yeah, thank you so much. And also, we're really looking forward to seeing everything that you guys do with Sustainability 5.0, because we massively resonate with your approach. It's really beautiful. So.
Thank you. Well, I hope there's ways we can collaborate in the future.
Definitely, me too.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed this week's conversation.
For today's show notes, to get in touch or sign up to our mailing list, you can find links at the bottom of this episode page.
And if you are new to our community, then head on over to our Instagram at sustainability5.0 and our website www.sustainability5.world and follow along to stay up to date with our upcoming online and in-person events.
If you found value in today's conversation, then we would so appreciate it if you would subscribe and leave us a review. Through this, you're helping others to find these important conversations.
Have a wonderful week. Bye-bye.